Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Zach Gelb is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We'll talk some football with them. Remember, if you're looking for Canes gear, why wouldn't you be? They're undefeated. Or Dolphins merch, check out Canes Wear and Davy. Or Panthers gear, they're on University Drive next to La Spada's. Or check out all the gear online at caneswear.com. Zach Gelb can be heard weekdays nationally on the Infinity Sports Network. Usually joins us from the WFAN studios in New York, but he is on his way to the Mets game. Is that correct, Gelb?
That is correct. I'm in wonderful Penn Station, and I was in a great mood until this rejoin music. Man, I'm really depressed after that. Slow start to this interview.
It's Solana doesn't care about the audience or the ratings. He just actively wants to annoy me. Jimmy,
yeah,
on the other hand,
he's back in basketball like season. I thought we got a little Peppas coming back from break, but I guess Solana's asleep today.
I saved that for the good guests, Gelb.
Oh. You know what? It's taken 2.5 years of me doing this show for Solana to finally have a good jab against me. Well done.
That was a good one. Took you out early. What was the reaction? You're in New York. What's the reaction yesterday to Robert Saleh being fired and the day after? How are people marinating on it?
Yeah, so I think everyone knew it was a possibility if they were to lose to Buffalo. I don't think anyone thought that it was going to transpire before the Buffalo Bills game. So there was a lot of surprise. I think that Aaron Rodgers made the call, but everyone's telling me that this was a Woody Johnson call, and that's been all the reporting. So it's tough for me to believe that Rodgers had no say in this, especially after some of the Cadence comments after the Broncos game and how the reporting goes that basically Nathaniel Hackett was getting demoted or was getting fired, and then Saleh got fired. So there's a lot there. The Jets, though, what a mess this has been. But the crazy part is with how many mediocre teams there are in the NFL, and you guys know this being in Miami, too, after losing your quarterback. If they go win this game on Monday night, they're in first place in the AFC East and what's been a miserable start to the first five games of the season.
And I'm not fighting for Robert Saleh at all. 35.7 win percentage. Like, yeah, what is he, 20 and 36? Like, I don't think he was a great head coach, Gale, but was it a scapegoat thing? Because him being out of this building, I don't think that fixed the Jets.
So I think you're right. Put it this way. Something had to change. I thought it was going to be the offensive coordinator. Then they made the decision to get rid of Robert Saleh. But the line still stinks. The quarterback still looks like he's 40 playing on one leg. Breece Hall's been MIA. And the defense has been good, but it's not an all-time great defense that they thought they were. So, you know this, Channing. Even Jeff Saturday, when he was appointed an interim head coach, he won his first game. Maybe they're just trying to do this to turn things around quickly and then hope that you carry that momentum that you're able to create. But I'm not expecting it to be all that much different. Like, can this team still make the playoffs? Sure. But after what I've seen the last 2 weeks, I can't really expect anything great out of them.
Bottom line, whoever the coach is, can Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl? Because that's why they brought him there, right? I mean,
no.
We talk about the window being open for the Florida Panthers and how long is this window, and the Dolphins, obviously. The Jets, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers, couple seasons left, maybe. What is he, 40, right? He's 40 years old, maybe older.
He's 40 years old.
Can he win a Super Bowl still?
He's 40 years old. This could be his final season. I do think he'll play one more after this. But when he got traded to New York, I said, okay, the Jets, I understand why they did this, but anyone thinking he's actually going to win a Super Bowl here, I think is absolutely nuts. Because look at when he was in Green Bay, and Tom Brady had a terrible second half of that NFC Championship game where he threw three interceptions. There were multiple times where he had the ball back, and they were trying to drive to go take the lead, and he failed multiple times. Like, he has been in there in an easier conference in the NFC so many times, and he has failed. I know he won that one Super Bowl earlier in his career. So why going to a tougher conference should I anticipate him with the franchise that's not as stable as Green Bay winning a Super Bowl? I just don't see any way, and I felt that way. It's easy to say now, but when the trade was made.
Is his talent, because I always tell everybody, like, when a guy is very talented, the distraction, he's, you know, the talent's bigger than the distraction. So it was something I was listening. I think Dominique Foxworth was talking about it, where if you pull up Aaron Rodgers, you hear about him running for vice president, him talking political, mm-hmm. him taking mushrooms, him having dark retreats and all this stuff. It's nothing about football. Is he good enough to cause the distraction for a team still?
That would be a good pivot episode if we did ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers in the interview. And that would be a whole lot of fun. I would like the invite for that one, if I'm just being honest. But you know what? No one's talking about the distractions if the offensive line was blocking and he had some time. It's no secret. You don't need a PhD in football, Channing. Like, you know this better than anybody. If you can't block in this league, I don't care who your quarterback is. Like, look when Tom Brady lost games because the offensive line couldn't block. But also, mentioning Brady, hey, I think Brady got us all thinking that every quarterback could go play into their 40s. Brady was an anomaly. Brady was one of one. So when I look at Aaron Rodgers, I still think he could be a good quarterback. I don't think he's elite, but he will be an average quarterback and someone that's going to look bad if this offensive line continues to be this poor and give him zero time to process.
So, speaking of quarterbacks, Gelb, the Dolphins, they go to New England and they beat the Patriots, and it's Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. Now the Patriots make a quarterback change. It'll be Drake May this coming weekend. What do you think of that change?
I have no problem going to Drake May, but my question is, if they're going to do it this week, why didn't they do it last week when they were going up against the Miami Dolphins, and now you have a tougher opponent with the Houston Texans coming to town? So I think that's been a lot of inconsistent messaging from Jerod Mayo, but once again, for Drake May, like, we think the Jets' offensive line is bad. The Patriots' offensive line could be the worst offensive line I've ever seen in all my years of watching football. So, yes, things could change quickly. We've seen what Jaden Daniels has done with the Commanders. We've seen last year what C.J. Stroud was able to do with the Texans. Drake May just has to create some hope, even if there's not a lot of wins and it doesn't look great, because the Patriots were willing to spend money the last offseason on a wide receiver, but the wide receivers like a Brandon Ayuk and others didn't want to come to New England. So he just needs to be showing signs that he could be the guy. It can't be one of these things at the end of the year where we're like, uh-oh, he stinks and he's someone that's going to be a bust.
Gelb, it's crazy you brought up Jaden Daniels. I was going to ask you that question because I'm getting those questions a lot when I do interviews. He's played 5 games, but he's breaking NFL records. Like, should we all buy into Jaden Daniels? Because he looks like he's a special guy. He looks like he's about to really do something in this league. He's playing Lamar Jackson. He's playing in Baltimore. I think that's the game of the week this week. But are you buying into Jaden Daniels after 5?
1,000%. I've been on the Jaden Daniels train now for a year. I wanted the Patriots, being a Patriot fan, to tank and get that second overall pick so they could draft Jaden Daniels. Well, that's not me saying Drake May can't be the guy, but I like Jaden Daniels better than Drake May when the draft process was happening. I talked to Dallas Turner, who ended up getting drafted first round by the Minnesota Vikings, and obviously he was with Alabama last year, and he told me before the draft, he said, Lamar Jackson is his favorite quarterback, but he thinks that Jaden Daniels is going to be better than Lamar Jackson because he has a stronger arm than Lamar. Now, hey, Lamar is a 2-time MVP. Lamar's a great quarterback in this league, so he still has a long ways to go. But you see how quickly it could change in this league. The Commanders were down and out for all those years. They get that wonderful owner. I was going to say something I probably couldn't say on the radio. And Daniel Snyder out of the building. And then Josh Harris comes in. And, you know, they made moves, Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, nothing sexy, but good hires, good character guys. And ultimately, they hit on the quarterback so far. So it could change very quickly. And this Commanders team right now, Cowboys, I know they got a good win up against the Steelers, but I don't like Dallas this year. I don't trust them. The Eagles have a locker room problem with their head coach. It would not surprise me if the Commanders end up winning this division.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Hey, Gelb, I remember a couple weeks ago you were on, and we asked you, are you buying in to the Minnesota Vikings? And you said you have to buy into them. I think they were 4-0 because of who they've beaten. Like, it maybe they're not going to be Super Bowl contenders, but you can't call them frauds because of who they've beaten. And I know the 49ers are 2-3. They don't look good. They're without McCaffrey. Are the Vikings right now the best team in the NFC, or are the Lions? I know that's going to be a good game this week. Are they up there? Where are the Falcons? Like, who's your team to beat right now in the NFC?
With what I've seen so far, and also factoring in recent history too, I would say the Vikings will definitely be a playoff team this year. I'm not ready to say they will definitely win the division. I would still put the Lions at the one spot right now. Philly, they have so much talent, but guys coming back from injuries, and I'm concerned about the head coach, Nick Sirianni, who's a doormat in Philadelphia. And the 49ers, hey, they've been close for so many years, and there's just a weird vibe around this team. I know we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and it would not surprise me if they end up getting to the Super Bowl, but the way that they've lost some of these games, the way the injuries are piling up, I know they went through a stretch last year where it was similar, and they ended up turning around and getting to the Super Bowl, but that 49ers team just has, like, a weird vibe around it, but I'm not going to go crazy over it after 5 weeks of the season.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.